الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. A companion once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for advice. The advice, in fact, was very particular advice. He asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for advice on how he could earn the love of Allah as well as the love of people. It's actually a very interesting question. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asked the Prophet alayhi wa sallam, how can I earn the love of Allah along with the love of people? It's an interesting question because these things are so different. And each one is a topic in and of itself, meaning one angle is to earn the love of Allah, and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just the most amazing thing that any human being could ever possess. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obviously the being who is totally free of any need and who is the creator of everything, and everything else is the created. So yes, I mean, that would be an interesting question on its own. And then a separate question might be, how do I earn the love of people? But this particular companion came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asked the whole thing in one phrase. How do I earn the love of Allah? And how do I earn the love of people? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, renounce the world and Allah will love you. And renounce what the people pursue and the people will love you. And that's it. In just a handful of words, the entire question was put to rest. That's the amazing ability of Rasulullah. You can tell you ask anybody any question nowadays, and you ask them a two-part question, they give you a 24-part answer. They go on and on and on and on, and it doesn't, in the end, A doesn't even connect to B. It's all over the place. But Rasulullah was given this amazing gift by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that his speech was very, very succinct, effective, and direct. So two pieces of advice. Renounce the world, meaning forsake the world, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And forsake that which other people possess, that which other people pursue, and people will love you. So from this we learn two important things. Number one, we learned that a very easy way to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to just renounce the things around us. Meaning, basically, or otherwise stated, you can say this, human beings, they have the ability to pursue one thing at one time. I know that we live in a world in which everyone is constantly multitasking, but the reality is that human beings are programmed to only really efficiently focus on one thing at one time. If a person begins to pursue the world and the false vanities within it, then there's no way that they can pursue the hereafter. These two things don't mix. It's very difficult for a person to be able to mix these things. If a person's goal becomes the meals of this world, then how will they pursue the meals of the hereafter? If a person's goal becomes the houses of this world, and how will they earn a life in the here? How will they earn a house in the hereafter? If a person's goal becomes comfort for themselves in this world, then it's very difficult to earn the comfort of the hereafter. So we as people who are seeking Allah and are trying to establish a routine that will allow us to be able to become the beloved of Allah, then we should know that the simplest way to achieve this is to simply turn to Allah. Instead of focusing on the created, we should be focusing on the creator. And that's it. A person will be able to so easily earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second response is actually particularly interesting and noteworthy in this day and age, which is that renounce the things that people have, renounce the things that people have or pursue, you can look at it either way, and the people will fall in love with you. The people will love you. Now, you see, in this day and age, human beings, they want everyone's attention. It's very natural. People want to be appreciated. People want to be accepted. People want to be elevated. This is just part of who we are. And people are constantly competing in this. People will compete for their clothing. People will compete for their material goods. People will compete for status in society. And the whole thing becomes a big rat race. And everybody's competing with everyone, and they fight with each other because of that. You'll see that people are competing. They want to one-up each other in their birthday parties. This person had this party, so I'm going to have that party. People want to one-up each other in their fashion. This person's wearing this, so I have to wear that. This person has this jewelry, so I have to have that. This person has these shoes, so I have to have that. People want to one-up each other in their possessions. This person has two cars, so I want to have three, whatever it might be. And when we get caught up in this, then the only consequence of it is that people begin to dislike us. And for us, that's a really important thing, because unless we have the love of the people, it's very hard for there to be a door open for us to be able to share the deen. If we sit with people and people think we're competing with them, then it's very hard to offer them something. But when somebody knows that you're no competition, then they tend to let their guard down. Now, you'll see that this is a constant problem with so many people that are trying to approach their Lord. You'll see people are fighting with one another over, you know, status. Even within a family, I get this all the time. I get emails every day. I get people calling every day. I don't get along with my sister-in-law. I don't get along with my sister. I don't get along with my in-laws, whatever it might be. I don't get along with my aunt. And invariably, it has to do with that there was some expectation and there was some competition in that expectation. You know, I was having this party and you didn't show up. Or I did this and you didn't respect me in this way. But it all of it boils down to one very simple premise, which is that people begin to compete with one another in the things that are absolutely not important. And we as Muslims, we've already been advised that we don't need to compete with other people in these things. If we renounce these things and don't worry about it, then it grants us the opportunity to be able to do the da'wah that we need to do. For example, you look at the prophets. They were not competing with other people. There was no competition with other people. They were not competing based on their worldly possessions or their salary. In fact, they did not want anything from the people. They would actually openly say to the people that we want no reward from you. There's no expectation. I'm not expecting money from you. I'm not expecting appreciation from you. I'm not expecting anything from you. I am merely just trying to benefit you for yourself. There's no secondary motive. There's no conflict of interest. The only reason that the prophets would stand in front of the people The only motive was their benefit. And it was totally crystal clear. Nobody could debate or even second guess it. In fact, they used to say, وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ. It's very interesting. They would say, we're not asking for any reward from this. Because why? Because our reward is with Allah. My focus is on Allah. I know that no matter what you give me, it's nothing compared to what Allah can give me. So I'm not even going to waste my time asking you for anything. But look what they say. They don't say, we don't ask you for a reward. The statement is close. We don't ask you for, if I said the translation was, we don't ask you for a reward, that would be a close approximation. But it's actually a little more technical than that. We don't ask you min ajr, even a tiny piece of a reward. We're not, forget about reward. We're not even asking you for an iota of a reward. We're not even asking you for a tiny fraction of a reward or an award. There is no motivation here except what's best for you. So when a person has that type of interaction with other human beings, then other human beings let their guard down. And when other human beings let their guard down, then you can deliver your message. Look, if nobody's going to open the door, how are you going to deliver the letter? Otherwise, you have to leave it at the front porch. Right? If you live in a place in this, you know, which is very dangerous and everybody's afraid to open the door, you can't go even knock at the door and have anybody open it. What has to happen is there has to be some degree of safety where a person feels comfortable to open the door and greet you. So if that's the interaction that we have with our physical doors, then our spiritual doors are the exact same way. If people see us as a competition to them, or they see us as wanting something from them, or they see us as having some sort of ulterior motive regarding them, then they don't open their door. And there's no way that we can benefit them. So if we get in the competition of, let me show you how good I am, let me show you how much I have, let me show you why I'm better than you, it's over. It's over, because now we're just competing in that thing that the people are already competing in. And once we're competing in that, there's no way they're going to open their door. There's no way they're going to open their door. And then what happens is people then begin to dislike us, and people begin to doubt us and cast glances about what the real motive is, and the person gets nowhere. And look at the opposite extreme. The prophets who came before us and the pious predecessors after them, they not only would not want a reward, they would not accept a reward. They would not accept compensation for what they did. And when they had that relationship with the people opened their hearts, and even better than any reward, fell in love with them. Such that you go any place in the world, any language, any people, it doesn't matter, and you say the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and everybody says sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everybody, I mean, this is like the common denominator. People will debate you on fiqh, people will debate you on so many issues. No one will debate you on the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how much love people have for him. And it's not even a love that it lasted, you know, for a few years. It's pervasive. It's lasting for centuries. It's lasting for centuries. People are, this love that the humanity has for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is so deep that it just penetrates time and space. Why? Because the Prophet alayhi salam had no ulterior motive except the people's benefit. And the prophets that came before him had no ulterior motive except the people's benefit. And now, what happens is the people who carry the message, they have 100 ulterior motives. They want to get to know this person because this person, I don't know, makes a lot of money. So if we get to know this person, then he may benefit us in some way. Or this person has a position of power. So if we get to know this person, maybe he'll benefit us in some way. Or if it's not that, then we want to compete with people. We want to outdo them in our weddings. We want to outdo them in our fashion. We want to outdo them in our wealth. We want to outdo them in our lifestyle. And once that competition arises, everybody's guard goes up. And everybody begins to second guess and create all this conflict between people. You didn't respect me the way I was supposed to be respected. You wanted people to respect you instead of respect me. It just goes back and forth. It becomes so petty. And what happens, the whole person's life just gets wasted in that stuff. So we have two important aspects to who we are. One, we deeply desire the love of Allah, and we will do anything we can in our power to be able to achieve it. And the way by which we achieve it, the first step is to renounce the dunya. It's very interesting to me that Rasulullah ﷺ didn't say, you know, do A, B, and C, and then you'll get the love of Allah. It was not even a positive action. It was just a remove yourself from something and Allah will love you. Renounce the world. Don't get caught up in the world. Don't get caught up in the things of the world. Don't get caught up in the pursuits of the world. Obviously, you have to be in the world, so you have to leverage the world to be able to do as much good as possible. But don't be like everybody else, who's just running around like fools trying to pursue the world and trying to amass things which mean nothing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. And then, beyond that, renounce what the people have. Renounce what the people pursue. Don't compete with the people in the things which they deem to be important, and they will love you. So in this day and age, I mean, what more could a person want? They want that Allah love them. They want that their children love them. They want that their parents love them. They want that their spouse love them. They want that their coworkers love them. They want that the community around them love them. They want to feel accepted and beloved to the community. But that's what it requires. That's what it requires. And when a person does this, what happens is they become they become a messenger of the deen, because then people let down their guard. So this is who we are. We're very simple in our approach. We create a lot of space. We create a lot of space means that we have a lot of space to avoid getting caught up in the entangled web of life, and that creates time, energy, and effort for us to do so many things that are better. We let things go. You know, somebody wants to outdo me in something. Great. I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. You know, I mean, there's two approaches. You think somebody's trying to outdo you. You know, you had a party and it was nice. And so now next week your in-laws want to have a party and they want to make it nicer. Oh my God. Oh my God, what's going to happen? You know, people are freaking out. Okay. Now, I mean, there's two possibilities. You can fight back and say, you're just doing this because I did this and I'm not going to come. And now, you know, this and that. You can make a whole fuss out of it. Or you can basically say, inshallah, your party will be better than mine. And let me help you. How can I make it better? So now what happens? You just totally diffuse the whole situation. And the person has nothing to argue against. Nothing to fight you about. All the people in my life that I have met, that I have the greatest love for, are all people who wanted to see me do better than them. The people in my life who I have the greatest love for are people who wanted to see me do better than them. It doesn't matter if they were Muslim or not Muslim. You know, I'm just as an example. You go to work, and when you have a boss that always wants to be the one that takes all the credit and wants to take all your work and wants to show that it was actually his idea, then everybody hates that boss. Doesn't matter if he's the boss, everybody hates that boss. Then they talk behind his back and they say, oh gosh, this guy, just one more time, he wants to show I did all the work and he just wants to take all the credit. But if you have the opposite, if you have a boss who wants to show how good you are and wants to show that, wants you to shine, everybody loves that boss. And not only does everybody love that boss, everybody wants to work harder for that boss. And in the end, actually, people then want to show the boss. They'll actually attribute it to the boss, even though it wasn't the boss's idea, because they want that boss to be elevated. It creates a very different work environment. So if that's the example of work, which is just passing and, you know, just a need in this life, then what is the example in deen and in our families and in our communities when the competition is not between one another, but the competition is that how can I help you advance? I want what's better for you. I want to see you happier than I am. I want to see you have more than what I have. I want to give you something better than what you already have. The whole paradigm totally shifts. In this day and age, everybody's competing against everybody. And 95% of the emails that I get all relate to, in this topic, in this topic of problems with relations with one another, they all relate to this basic theme. If we become people who love to see others to have more than what we have, and others do better than what we do, and others advance beyond where we are, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us, the people will fall in love with us, and we will always be ahead. And if we want to try to win the battle by taking other people's, you know, limelight, or competing with other people, or challenging other people, then all we get is heartache and tension and agony. And it never amounts to anything. So it's a very, very subtle message, but it's a very simple message for those people who have ears. We are people who thrive to see other people succeed. And we are people who have a very simple purpose. And the only purpose is to bring something of benefit to the people around us. We have no other ulterior motive. We don't want anything from anyone. We don't accept anything from anybody. The only thing that makes us happy is one more person reconnect with their Lord. And when that becomes the primary function of who we are, then there's a tremendous amount of happiness and success in this life and the next. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who renounce this world so that He may love us. And we ask that He make us among those who renounce what other people pursue so that they may love us. وَآخِرَ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ